Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the many things you've already blessed us with this day, and now the blessed opportunity once again to get back into your word. Help us now as we get into this message that you've given us. Help us to apply it properly. Help us to use it and share it with others as well. Lead, guide, and direct all this as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Mind our own business. We have people that try to weasel their way into situations that they've got no business in. Whether it be on the job, whether it be in your family, or just day by day in politics and things that are going on around the world, some people need to just be quiet and mind their own business. And in Leviticus chapter 19, he addresses this way back in the Levitical law. And he calls these people talebearers, or another word for it is gossipers. In Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 15, ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. This judgment is when you evaluate the situation or an individual or an action or behavior, you are not to do it unrighteously. Doing that unrighteously would be that you put yourself in a position of condemning or being the one to create or produce condemnation against someone. We are not in that position. We are told and instructed by the Lord directly that we need to evaluate things, like he tells us about the fruit of the tree and so forth. Look at that and see what you're dealing with in order to know how to associate and connect or disconnect from that situation. But not to condemn the individual. As he's telling us here, ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. When you have these ideas that one category of people is more important or more valuable than another, you would be in error. But in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. Notice, telling us here, judge your neighbor, but judge it properly, in righteousness, in the proper way. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. Neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. Don't be a gossiper. Don't cause that hardship and that conflict. And in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 8, the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. That's how severely we can hurt someone when we become a talebearer, a tattler, a gossiper, someone who spreads rumors and so forth. Not supposed to do such a thing. All right, now go over to the New Testament. Over in 2 Thessalonians. So we're not supposed to be gossipers, not supposed to be talebearers, as they use the term in the Old Testament, because it can hurt people. Deep down in them, you can hurt someone. Shouldn't do such things. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and just one verse here, verse 11, for we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. In this chapter, he's speaking to a congregation. He's teaching them how to behave, what to do, what not to do. And he's saying that there are people that have become associated with the church, with the group, that are just there to see what they can take, what they can get. And they're not workers. They're not givers. And they become those that become busybodies. They're always dabbling in somebody else's affairs rather than just taking care of the work that they are supposed to do. All right, now go to 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 9, it reads, but as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. The great commandments. The first and the second. The first being to basically love God with all your existence, and then the second to love others as yourself, to love your neighbor. So we're taught that, so we should do that. And if you truly love someone, you're not going to be backstabbing them. You're not going to be gossiping against them. You're not going to be saying things that you shouldn't say that are going to hurt them directly or hurt something they're doing or even their family. It shouldn't be that way. You got to mind your own business. Take care of what the Lord has set you to do. As it continues in verse 10, "And indeed, ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia, but we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more." This increase more and more is increasing that love one for another. He was complimenting them, saying that you're okay, we got some evidence that you are loving and you're caring, but you need to do even more. "And that ye study to be quiet," quiet being not to be troublemakers, not to stir up stuff, not to be spreading rumors, "and to do your own business." Notice, your own business. "And to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing." See, when we're doing the task that the Lord has set for us to do in the proper way, then He is going to bless us. He's going to multiply those blessings. He's going to give us what we need to do that task. And we don't need to be critical of others, be jealous of others, be envious of others that might be doing a task that you think they're getting more glory than you are in the task that you're doing. We all have individual callings. We all have different assignments. We're all part of the body of Christ. As He teaches us in other places about that body, how there are differences between the hands and the feet and the eyes and the ears and so forth, to acknowledge what the Lord has given you, to use what the Lord has given you, to find out your particular place and to do that and to focus on that and not worry about the others. Don't try to influence the other workers in what they're doing in a negative way. You can compliment people, you can lift people up, but don't criticize them, cut them down, cause obstacles for them, because you're not benefiting the kingdom. You're not being a part of the body. You would try to become an individual then. We're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to come together in unity. And then in Galatians chapter 6, we'll turn over there. Galatians chapter 6, picking up verse 1. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." So when you see a situation when somebody's getting into something, dabbling in something they're not supposed to be doing, that you know is against the will of the Lord, you can acknowledge that, see that, assist that individual, but be very careful when you assist them that you don't get pulled into that same misbehaving, or that you wind up sinning in another way, such as if you find that someone is doing something that is contrary to the will of the Lord, and then you go to that person and says, "Oh, we'll help you, we'll take care of you, we'll pray for you," and then you go about telling everybody else about it, gossiping, saying, "Oh yeah, did you find out what so-and-so's doing?" You know, and in a negative way, that's not beneficial. If you go about and talk to others and say, "So-and-so needs some prayers, dealing with an issue, let's pray for them." You don't have to go into the details. All right, then as it continues, verse 2, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." When you get so puffed up that you think you are just great, you're doing everything right, and no fault in you, you're deceiving yourself. "But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another." We got to be careful when we're in these positions of work that we're working in for the right reason, to bring honor and glory to the Lord, not to bring honor and glory to ourselves. But there's too many people who get into a work for the Lord and are eager to be acknowledged for it, praised for it. Verse 5, "For every man shall bear his own burden." Notice, all accountable for our own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That is quoted quite a bit. You reap what you sow. So if you go about bad-mouthing somebody, gossiping against somebody, being a talebearer, look out, because it's going to be coming your way too. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. That verse 9 could stand on its own for a whole sermon in that one verse. Not to be weary in well-doing. You keep doing what you're supposed to do to bring honor and glory to the Lord, in the will of the Lord, and don't be weary. Don't worry about it. Don't be wore out, because if we take on what he wants us to take on, we use his strength and we won't get wore out in it. We see too many people that get burnout because they've taken on more than they're supposed to take on. And they get discouraged and they pull back completely. Or they become jealous or envious of someone else they think is receiving more than them. So it can lead in various ways. Verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. It's interesting how he puts that there, that we are to love our neighbors, and we are to be helpful and to giving and generous and charitable and beneficial to others in whatever way we can, helping others. But most of all, and primarily, especially unto them who are of the household of faith, to your brothers and sisters in Christ. Too many times people are really interested in getting involved in charitable groups that have absolutely nothing to do with the Lord, if the Lord's not involved in it. It might benefit somebody's lifestyle. It might benefit them to live happy. It might benefit them to live prosperously in this world, in worldly things. But does it benefit them spiritually? You got to be very careful with that in your giving as well. Are you giving to organizations that do absolutely nothing to spread the gospel or help someone spiritually? Then you are giving an error. You're wasting your money. You're casting your pearls before the swine. Because if all you're doing is helping some sinner live more comfortably in his sinful life, then you haven't benefited that sinner at all. We got to benefit them in a way that's going to help them everlasting life, help them with treasures in heaven, not just here. So it's got to be focused on helping them become a brother and sister in Christ. Then we can pour all the blessings upon them. So primarily, focus on helping the Christians. And then secondarily to that, reaching out to others to help them come in to become Christians. Because that is our great commission, to spread the gospel. That's the best charitable act that we can perform with others, is to show them the pathway to Jesus Christ. Then we can pile even more stuff on them because they become part of the household of faith. Let's read verse 10 again. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. In that, going back into this subject matter of mind your own business, we got to be very careful how we are critical of other brothers and sisters in Christ. Way too many times it's so tempting to see somebody that's in the ministry, for instance, that has done something that is wrong, and you just swoop in on them, bombard them with all kinds of problems and gossips, and you tell them, oh, did you hear what so-and-so said from the pulpit? He just stepped on all our toes. He just thinks he's so great. Just look, you're shooting your family members. I'm not supposed to do that. All right, now go to Colossians. Well, just one verse here. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Okay, let's look at this. Grace, that means unmerited favor. when you're talking to someone, and with salt, that's influence. Because salt changes things. Salt changes the flavor of things or enhances the flavor of things. It brings things out. It penetrates and can spread. So we got to be very careful at how we do speak with others, because knowing that it can have quite an influence on others. Because like he says, with meekness and fear, that power of influence under control and fear of accountability for what you have said. Because we are going to answer for every word we ever speak. We are going to be held accountable for all that. You got to take it to the Lord. You got to ask for forgiveness when you say something you shouldn't have said. But know that it's still going to be held accountable to you. It won't take you out of heaven. You're not going to be condemned to hell because you're born again a Christian and you mess up by gossiping against somebody. But you can sure burn up your rewards. You can sure do that. That'll hurt you now and hurt you for eternity. You'll be lost of benefits and rewards that you would have had because you did something wrong. We can get forgiveness for it, yes, but he's not going to return those blessings that you lost because you did something wrong. That's why we've got to be so careful as Christians to receive the full blessing, the full rewards. He talks about that in here, receiving the full reward that he has in mind for us. Let's not burn it up by just spewing out evil against each other, because that's not going to benefit us ever. And in Titus, young protege of Paul's, teaching him to be a pastor like he did Timothy, in Titus chapter 3, instructions to Titus how he needs to be instructing others and how to behave as truly born-again Christians, part of the family of God. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Here he's telling them to be good law-abiding citizens, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. That's not stirring up trouble, getting involved in riots and protests and demonstrations. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Reminding us where we came from. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. That's awesome that he has saved us by grace. He has shown us mercy. He has given us that everlasting life. Therefore, we need to act like it. Listen to the Holy Ghost. He is renewing us, giving us a new mind, so we can think about the right things as well, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. We want to be productive. We want to be beneficial, not just tear stuff down. Way too many times we see people that are real quick to condemn an event or condemn a work for the Lord or condemn a church or a church member or church leader. Real quick to condemn, to complain, to murmur, to gossip against, and do absolutely nothing to benefit or to assist or to change in a positive way the situation that they might be complaining about. We've got to look at the situation. Is this something that needs to be done? Is it something that needs to be changed? If so, then do something in a productive way to assist that rather than just complain about it. which we've seen a lot of evidence in, a lot of records of the history of in the Word of God about how so many people were murmurers, complainers, moaning and groaning, but not doing anything to benefit, not doing anything to change it or to alter the situation, just want to complain about it. So easy to do that, but are you willing to step up and help? We need to step up and help. Romans chapter 14, verse 11. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Of himself. You're not going to give account for somebody else's actions. You're going to give account for your own actions. That's why we need to mind our own business. We got to make sure that we have things in order, that we are prayed up, that we are doing what we're supposed to be doing all the time. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Over and over and over, we see that we're told we're going to be judged. We're going to be judged for what we have done. We're going to be judged for what we have done with what the Lord has blessed us with. And as it says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 27, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. There is a judgment coming for all of us. So we must all pray. We must all focus on taking care of what we're supposed to be doing, what our task is, and not be like those that are in there just to stir up trouble, not to be brawlers, not to be gossipers, not to be talebearers, but to mind our own business, to take care of what we are supposed to do as truly born-again Christians. If we truly do that, then we can receive a full blessing. And we can have the honor and glory that the Lord wants to give us. Not just honor and glory that we give the Lord, but he's told us that he's going to provide us with honor and glory that we'll be able to use during the millennial kingdom and for the eternal state as well. Over in James chapter 4, James is awesome because he tells us so well exactly how we need to behave, as we need to submit ourselves and so forth. And in James chapter 4, let's start right from the beginning of the chapter there. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? These things that are in us, the selfishness that's in us, the pride that is in us, the arrogance that is in us, the greediness that is in us, is what leads us to have the divisions, what leads us to want to cut somebody down or gossip against somebody. Whereas ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and contain and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. When we go to the Lord and ask for things, are we asking him because we want to benefit ourselves only? Or is it to benefit the Lord, to benefit the will of the Lord, to benefit us in a way that we can then in turn benefit others? We've got to be very careful how we ask. Got to ask it in the right way. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. And do ye think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And it is so tempting when the devil comes in. He might feed you a little bit of information about someone. It's so tempting to, ooh, that sounds like a juicy thing I can pass on to somebody else. That's from the devil. You got to resist that. Resist that temptation to pass it on to somebody else. And he'll flee from you. He'll take that from you. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. He has to. He has no more authority over you. draw nigh to God, and God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another. That's the whole focus of this. Don't be gossipers. Don't be talking bad about each other. Tempting sometimes, yeah, when you hear about something that somebody's done. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. Now here you got to talk about, he's not talking about evaluation, he's talking about condemning. Are you the one that can cast judgment on somebody in the form of condemnation? No, it's only for the Lord to do. As he says, there is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. We got to realize this life is so swift, here and gone. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. We know what to do. The Lord has taught us. We know how to behave. He has shown us. We know that there are a lot of challenges day by day, a lot of temptations the devil likes to use against us. Some of the easiest ways to sin is with our words, what we say, what we speak about, what we share with others, what we spread. We got to mind our own business. But when we mess up, when we do stumble, we need to take it to the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace without spot and blameless. How can you be found in peace without spot and blameless? By confessing your sins. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In chapter 2, my little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. We have the guidelines. We have the verses that we need to learn from to do what we need to do to bring honor and glory to the Lord and to walk the straight and narrow and not be sinners. We have it given to us, preserved for us, and taught to us directly by the Holy Ghost. So we need to listen to it. But sometimes we don't listen to it. Sometimes we stumble. Sometimes we so quick to just sin. We don't carry that to your grave. Don't carry that to judgment. We all are going to be given account. Get it taken care of. As he tells us here, my little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. We need to walk like the Lord, talk like the Lord, act like the Lord, love like the Lord. If we sin, confess our sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, because we know that we all are going to be judged, each and every one of us, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Be ready for that judgment. Be found without spot and blameless. Don't be gossiping. Don't be getting into somebody else's affairs or businesses. You can look at people, evaluate them, judge them in that manner so you can assist them or stay away from them so you don't get pulled down into that same problem. So let's all be holy. because he is holy, day by day, to bring honor and glory to him, praise him, and to benefit the family of God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we truly thank you for the opportunity you've given us to get into your word, to see some of the instructions that we all need, some of that attitude adjustment that we all need time by time, and help us to really apply it properly, and help us to share it with others as well. Help all of us to go out of here and every thought that we have, every word that we speak, bring honor and glory to you and do exactly what you want us to do. Help us all see the light so we can then take that light and share that light with others in this dark world. It seems to be getting darker by the day, but we know your light becomes that much more influential on the world. So help us do that, share that. Thank you all so much for the opportunity. Be a part of your work. So pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.